Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching, focusing on being salt and light in the world, was recorded at our Summer Family Bible Conference and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
Paul had learned that when we suffer, that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, comforts us in all of our tribulation, so that we know how to comfort others, over in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And because of this, Paul actually looked forward to suffering because he knew that the Holy Spirit would be there to comfort him. Man, he looked at things differently. It wasn't because he had a different amount of problems. He had more problems than you and I have, but he processed it differently. He thought about it differently. And one of the things is he put it in the light of eternity. And then the second thing in verse 18, he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal." Here's a second way that Paul was able to process these things and keep from being overwhelmed by the hardship, is because he didn't look at things just in the physical realm. He looked in the spiritual realm. You know, this is amazing. Some people really struggle at this, because he says we look at the things that are not seen instead of the things that are seen. How do you look at something if it isn't seen? How do you look at the things that aren't seen? You know, to some people, this is just a dead end. It's like a wall. It's a barrier. Your thoughts just end right here, because if you can't see it, well, then this is just weird. But you have an ability to see with your heart. You can see things through faith that you can't see with your imagination. And the reason I'm bringing all of this up is to say that the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing that is in you. And these good things that the Bible is talking about are things that cannot be seen with your physical eyes. The vast majority of people just stumble when it comes to really seeing what God has done in their life, because they only perceive with their five senses what they can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Most people are limited to that. And they just, if they can't look in a mirror and see that they're healed, see that the glory of God is on them, if they can't see the anointing, then they just don't believe that they've got it. If they don't have a goosebump running up and down their spine, then they just don't believe that God has touched them and blessed them. If they don't feel love and joy and peace, then they don't believe that they have it. But Paul here is saying that the way you do this is you have to see things that aren't seen. You have to be able to feel things that you can't feel. You have to be able to perceive things that you can't perceive with your little five senses, your little peanut brain up here. What the Bible calls this is faith. You have to be able to walk by faith. As a matter of fact, see, he goes on into the fifth chapter, and he's, remember that men are the ones that put the chapter and verse divisions in here, and it's okay because it helps us reference this. But it isn't a new thought. He didn't quit a thought in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 18, and now here's a new thought in chapter 5, verse 1. Remember, this was all written as a letter. And so he just is continuing on. He's talking about seeing things that you can't see. And then he starts talking about that if this physical body was to die, we know that we have a body prepared for us from God, a glorified body. Now, how does he know that? Has he seen the glorified body? Has he felt it? Has he heard it? No, he's talking again about seeing things that you can't see. There isn't any physical proof that there is going to be a resurrection. Now, I say no physical proof. Jesus rose from the dead, but I'm saying you didn't see Jesus raised from the dead. You are taking this by faith. There are all of these promises, but really when it comes down to it, you can't in just a test tube prove these kind of things. Christianity is based upon faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "Without faith, it's impossible to please Him." And you know, it amuses me that people are always trying to get some kind of physical, tangible proof that is going to make people believe. There isn't any such thing. And God isn't prone to supply those kind of things. You know, I remember when the search for Noah's Ark was a big deal, and they came out with a movie about that, In Search of Noah's Ark, and they found people went into it. A man right here in Woodland Park, Bob Cornuke, went into Noah's Ark and brought back things, carbon dated it, showed that it was like, I don't know, 4,000 or 6,000 years old, whatever that was, and all of these things, and this was going to make people believe. You know what? It didn't make people believe. There was people that sat there and somehow or another disproved that. There are people today who are doing all of these things. I had people just within the last month or two, I had somebody write me and say, you talk about your son being raised from the dead and other people being raised from the dead. You supply doctor's reports. You give proof. You do this and we are going to go nationwide and we are going to make people believe. And they were really aggressive about this and on my case. And you get documentation and stuff. And you know what? I don't, in the first place, believe I could even come up with documentation. When my son was raised from the dead, I asked the doctor twice. I said, so was he dead? And he said, oh, nobody ever comes in like this and leaves any other way but in a body bag. And then he just was reaming out my son. And so he did that for a while. And I said, so was he dead? And he says, we never have seen anybody come in the way he comes in and leave any other way except in a body bag. And he just wouldn't say it. And later on, I've got a doctor that's on my board. And he said that if they strip you naked, put a toe tag on you and put you in the cooler, you're dead. And he says he won't say that he was dead because of the liability issues, because when he came back to life in the cooler, you know what? They could be liable for big things. And so you aren't going to get doctors to sit there and verify these things. And, you know, look at it this way. Jesus, when he raised Lazarus from the dead, was there a doctor there to confirm that he wasn't just in a comatose state and that they had wrongly diagnosed him as being dead? You know, there wasn't any proof of all of these things. The Lord could do things in a way that it left no faith involved. Like, for instance, when Jesus rose from the dead, Jerusalem was full of religious pilgrims who had come there for the Passover, and there were hundreds of thousands of people who saw Jesus dead, crucified. It was the main event. He could have hovered over Jerusalem and have just appeared to all of these people, and he could have made 1 million people just get born again right then. But that's not the way that God does things. Did you know that Jesus never appeared after his resurrection to a single non-believer? He only appeared to people who already believed. Some people thought, well, why didn't he take advantage of this? Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. God doesn't want to put his... I mean, just think about it. Almighty God could put his thumb on your throat and pin you to the ground and make you confess that he is God. But there wouldn't be any faith in that. There's no relationship. Christianity is about a relationship. And God is a God of faith. God wants you to trust him by faith. God could make a bird come sit on everybody's shoulder and sit there and tell you everything you want to know and answer all your questions and talk to you. He could have every dog walk up and bark out, God loves you. He could write your name in the clouds. He could do things, but that is not the way that God does things. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And so Paul is talking about the way that he is doing these things. The way he shrinks his problems down to a manageable size is by faith. He's not looking at things in the natural. He's looking in the unseen realm. He's thinking about eternity. He's thinking about that if they were to kill me, I have a glorified body waiting on me. And he is absolutely convinced about it. Matter of fact, down here in chapter 5 and verse 6, he says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. You know what this is? It's faith. He is so convinced of these things that he says, man, I am always confident that as long as I'm in this body, I'm not really home yet. He lived more in eternity than he lived in time. And because of that, how do you threaten a man like that? How do you threaten a man that, like over in Philippians chapter 1, he says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I have a strong desire to go and depart and be with Christ, but I'm going to stay here because that's more necessary for you. A person who is living in eternity like that and is more focused on how he's going to be in eternity. How do you intimidate? How do you scare a person like that? You come up and tell him, if you don't quit preaching the gospel, we're going to kill you. Man, he just reaches up and kisses you. Oh, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. So they say, well, we're going to throw you into prison then and shut you up. And he says, fine, put me in the stocks and I'm going to glorify God and just worship him. And God gets to singing along with him and patting his foot, and an earthquake comes and it just delivers him from the prison. And so they, you know, how do you stop a guy like this? It's awesome. And so he says in verse 7, therefore we are always confident that knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. The key to Paul's life, the key to the Christian life, is walking by faith. It's seeing what you can't see. It's acknowledging these good things that are on the inside of you that you can't see in a mirror, that you can't feel. When you wake up in the morning, who you are in the spirit isn't going to just come flooding out of you. Instead, your body's going to tell you that, oh, I'm tired. No, I hurt. No, I didn't get enough sleep. And then your mind will start thinking about things and you'll remember words. Most of us are just carnal. We are dominated by our five senses and we aren't walking by faith. And this is one reason that the salt and the light that is on the inside of us isn't coming out and affecting other people, is because we aren't focused on it. We're focused on the physical realm. We're focused on our problems. We're focused on what we don't have instead of what we do have. And if the communication of our faith is going to be effectual, we are going to have to start acknowledging, seeing what is on the inside of us. We're going to have to start walking by faith and not by sight. The next verse, verse 8 says, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. You know, again, most Christians don't have this attitude because the truth is we think only in the physical, natural realm. And when it comes to death, we believe that there is an eternity, but we don't spend a lot of time focused about it and thinking about it, and we just aren't there.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to make a difference by being salt and light in the world. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado. It's available in an 8-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request series RM230 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. Be sure to specify CD or DVD. The 7th CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the 7th teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111, and our web address is awmi.net.
I'd like to encourage you to call into our helpline, and you can not only get these products, which I really encourage you to do, because they'd be good for you, and it'd also be a great way for you to share these truths with someone else. So please get the products, but also these people that answer the phones are some super people, some very mature Christians. We get compliments and comments constantly from people who call in that they have never had the compassion, the love, the power of God demonstrated like through our helpline. You would really be blessed. So if this has touched you and you'd like some prayer or ministry, please call and remember to get these products.